Blog Talk Radio.
This is Blog Talk Radio, XBN, the Floppies Broadcast Network. Powered by Blog Talk Radio. My name is Jill Brenneman. My great appreciation to Jim Donovan, formerly of Rusted Root, who has given us permission, one of the latest artists who has given us his support and permission to use his music for our show, and we certainly appreciate that. This is XBN. You can find us at www.xxbn.net. My guest today is Serpent Libertine. She is a veteran sex worker and activist with the Sex Workers Outreach Project in Chicago. She has worked in many facets of the sex industry. She's worked as a dom, an escort, a masseuse, a madam, as well as behind the camera doing casting, camera and sound on the bad word that I was not allowed to put in the bio on the air on porn shoots. That is missing in the bio because it was not allowed. But we can say it on the air. Go figure. She is currently creating sex worker-made videos, and she has a project called the Red Light District Chicago. Welcome, Serpent.
Thank you for having me on, Jill. I appreciate it. I'm so excited.
For the audience who is unfamiliar with who you are and what you're doing. And for the audience, you can call in at any time, 646-200-3136, or you can email us at xbnlive@gmail.com. We do have a zero-tolerance policy for abominations, so if you include abomination in the email, we will not respond to it. Other than that, we are happy to take your emails, take your calls. No abominations, please. Serpent, tell the audience, who are you? What are you doing?
Well, I think my bio is a little lengthy compared to some of the other bios, but I've been a sex worker for quite some time now, several years, and within the past year, I got together with some of the other lovely other sex worker ladies here in Chicago, and a couple of ladies in Chicago named Betty DeVoe and Kitten Infinite. They started Swap Chicago, and I got together with them, and they just started organizing. We started having meetings, and everything's really started to gel. What got cut off on my bio, I think at the very end, was I do have a blog, sexpros.net. It's www.sexpros.net, and I also have a blog that I write about my experiences in the industry, and then as part of Swap Chicago, as we were having meetings, I came up with the idea for Red Light District a while back, and originally my idea for it was to have a cable access show, which we're still planning on doing in Chicago, that just kind of dealt with all things related to the sex industry in Chicago, be it sex workers or just sexually oriented businesses or anything, just spotlighting them in half-hour episodes, and then it would just air on local cable TV. With the internet, obviously you can post videos. But we were just kind of toying around with that, working on that, and nothing had really come to. I hadn't produced an episode until the Elliot Spitzer scandal broke, and I said to Kitten Infinite, one day I said, and she called me and she's like, let's go out on the street and start doing interviews about this Elliot Spitzer thing. So with the Spitzer thing, that kind of got the ball rolling, and we just went out with a camera. We walked around neighborhoods in Chicago, started interviewing people on the street about the Elliot Spitzer thing, what their opinions were of this guy, of government officials, of you know, getting in trouble with prostitutes, as well as their views on prostitution. And we got a lot of really interesting different responses. We got three construction workers who were on the job. We got them to, they asked their manager or their, you know, whoever, their supervisor in charge, they said, there were three, you know, cute ladies walking around with a microphone, and they were all excited to do the interview. They took off their work vests, and they got their supervisor to give them permission to do this interview on the street. And we got some really interesting responses out of them. So we had a blast with that. We did another series of interviews. Walking around, we had the New York Post that had Kristen on the cover that said "Bad Girl." And we were asking people what their opinions of that were. You know, I mean, this girl is being crucified in the press, and she really hasn't made a statement. I mean, still to this day, I don't think she's made a statement about what has happened to her. And yet, you know, she's got her face splashed all over, you know, being labeled a bad girl. I mean, obviously, the New York Post isn't the most reputable newspaper, but you know, still, I mean, nobody deserves that. We're all sex workers. It could probably happen to any of us. She just happened to be the one that was, you know, caught in this particular sting. So we got some interesting responses with that, and it's just really the ball started to roll, and I posted them on the internet. We did Kitten Infinite, and I did about three podcasts, the most recent which was 18 Things Every Sex Worker Should Know. I posted that up, and I've got the website, redlightdistrict.com, and it's just going to be multimedia, podcasts and video. And the quote that we're using is, sex workers making media, so the media doesn't make us. That was just something I said. I think we were recording one of our podcasts, and I said that to Kitten, and she goes, oh, that's got to be our motto, you know? And so we put that up, and I think it's a good point with this Spitzer scandal is, here, right after it broke, every sex worker, you know, imaginable was being interviewed, and their words were being twisted and turned and edited to make them look bad. And obviously we saw that with the 2020 special with Diane Sawyer as well. Here we are, you know, the sex workers are giving up interviews to the mainstream media, and their words are being twisted to make them seem like victims. And so for me, Red Light District was very important, in that this is 100% sex worker made media. This is our voices, and we are not being edited or censored or you know, being portrayed as victims in any way in what we're doing. And I like the idea that Kitten, she was out there on the street holding the microphone up, and instead of the sex workers being interviewed, she was the one doing the interviewing, and we were getting interesting responses from people on the street, and really engaging them in this conversation about prostitution and sex work in general. So that's just some of the stuff that I'm working on.
I think Kitten is Mr. Calling. Kitten should be an anchor herself.
I know. You know, I mean, she... Our next project is actually we want to work on a parody of the... I wrote a mini script, a parody of the 2020 special, and I know Kitten wanted to play Diane Sawyer in that one, but I don't know what, I don't know, we're going to probably maybe shoot that in the next week or so, just a short little parody regarding that. But she did an amazing job. I mean, we didn't have anything written down. She just went off the top of her head with the questioning. And it really shows people, just regular people on the street, how intelligent, you know, sex workers can be. And I think that's one of the things that was really important about that as well, too, is just showing people that, hey, you know, we're not all, you know, stupid or whatever you perceive us to be.
I think one of the great things about, you know, us doing this as sex worker media is exactly what you said. You know, there's this impression that we're all, you know, doltish trollops and slack-jawed Jezebels, but, you know,
right.
We trip over our IQs and fall into a pit, or we're out to just, you know, steal somebody's husband, and which both are just a, you know, this is a family show, so I'll put it correctly, you know, it's a pile of excrement. I was going to use a bad word, but I don't want to our Blog Talk Radio sensors to kick me off the air like they did last time.
Oh, really?
So we'll stick with the word excrement. But what did you find? Well, here, let me do my station break before I get into trouble with the Blog Talk Radio people. This is XBN, xxbn.net, powered by Blog Talk Radio. My name is Jill Brenneman. If you would like to join us, we would love to have you. You can call in at 646-200-3136, someplace in the United States, that's toll-free. So if you're in that someplace, you can call toll-free, or you can use your cell phone. It's weekend anyway, you can use your weekend minute. My guest, Serpent Libertine, she's talking about Red Light District Chicago and sex worker rights media. What did you find was the response?
When we did the interviews, we were actually very surprised. A lot of the guys that we interviewed, the male interviews, they were all condemning of prostitution. They all, I mean, not all of them, but a lot of them thought it was wrong. They thought, I know the construction workers, the one guy said he thought that Spitzer should give his $80,000 back that he spent on prostitution. He said, oh, well, he should give it to his wife or the city of New York. A lot of them, you know, thought that he had committed a crime and that he should be prosecuted for it. And a lot of the women were a little bit more lax, saying, you know, hey, there's, you know, worse things going on and in the world, obviously. And, I mean, we did get a variety. I'm not saying it was all like that, but we did get a variety of responses, but we were really surprised at the male responses that we got, because a lot of the early interviews that we did, was the guys were very, like, very much like, well, prostitution is illegal, it's a crime, it should be illegal, and, you know, what he did was wrong. And the women were a little bit, you know, less like, hey, you know, give him a break. But I think, you know, if you watch it, you'll see Kitten's line of questioning was, you know, maybe what he did obviously wasn't wrong, but what was wrong was that he was, when he was a district attorney, or was it attorney general, I forget, of New York, he was, you know, he was busting up prostitution rings himself, whatever that means, and then, of course, he was probably using prostitutes at the same time he was doing that. So he was a hypocrite, and... You know, we asked people about that, and I think most people agreed that was wrong, that he was a hypocrite. But yeah, I mean, it was really interesting. And then the second day we did interviews, we were more talking about Kristen, and you know, people said, well, you know, hey, she wasn't doing anything wrong. You know, she didn't have a responsibility to the state of New York, and you know, she didn't really deserve the negative attention that was being showered upon her. So, but yeah, it's really.
Whoops, we have a caller.
Is that on what?
We have a caller. Would you like to take a caller?
Sure.
Caller, you're on the air with XBN.
Hi there.
Hi,
hello.
Caller, go ahead.
This is Stacey from Desiree Alliance.
Hi, Stacey.
Okay, I wanted to call because Serpent made the comment about how a lot of the guys were more anti than for, and I saw the video, so, and I think it's just so strange, and I wonder if, like, workers in the sex industry, we need to be thinking about how, like, we kind of have to hold the guys' hands and say, okay, this is why it's okay to support the rights of sex workers, and here is how you need to frame it so that you don't just sound like you're afraid of sounding, which is they're afraid that they're going to sound like pigs. If they're like, look, it's not a big deal. You pay somebody for a service, whatever. So I feel like in contemporary society, men have been really, like, dissociated from the terminology and language of sexual rights, and We just need to kind of coach them and teach them, like, how to feel okay about what they feel, because I think they're just conflicted, and I don't think most of those guys really thought what they were saying. And except for those guys in the bar, the one who said, you know, like, if you're making $2,000, I don't think you need to be aspiring to anything. You found your calling.
I thought that was a great comment. And I actually knew that guy. Well, what's funny is I actually knew that guy. I had actually gone to school with that guy. So, but I thought it was a funny comment. It was so great because it was actually very true in a way. It was like, you know, here's Kristen, she's this aspiring singer, but she's making $2,000 an hour.
Well, exactly. Well, I think that's the point. It's like, what, you know, like, she's doing something that makes her aspirations possible. And she's doing it in a way that a lot of people do it, I think. You know, like, this, New York is a tough city to survive in. So, yeah,
well,
I
did it.
Guys,
I use sex work to put myself through college to make my aspirations and dreams come true. So, you know, or whatever.
right. And like, so many sex workers are people who are passionate about things that are not necessarily financially fulfilling or sustainable. And
exactly.
Sex work makes it possible to invest yourself in your passions. But I think that we need to be talking to the guys about how to have these conversations. Maybe, you know, I'm not sure, like, I don't feel like saying, okay, we're going to do this event for clients. I don't feel like that brings the guys in. I think that labels them and makes them nervous. So I don't know. I just wanted to throw this concept out there for everybody who's listening. Like, let's figure out how we're going to hold the guys' hands and bring them along the social justice path of, like, fixing things, you know, because I feel like they're left out to some degree, and when the issue comes up, they feel more put on the spot than treated as an ally or an equal. And so, you know, we need to find a way to, I mean, we're sex workers. We know how to deal with men, right? Let's do it right.
Right. No, and I agree with what Stacey is saying. I believe that a lot of them are shamed into saying, well, I mean, I don't feel like we were shaming them, but they probably would feel ashamed or like pigs if they said yes.
Right.
I agree, prostitution should, right. Prostitution should be decriminalized. Maybe some of them were worried that maybe a girlfriend or a wife would see these videos and hear what they were saying. I mean, you have to think about that. I mean, I know in particular, the construction workers we interviewed were very nervous. They were very nervous that, like, the mainstream media might be watching them, you know, and all of a sudden there'd be, like, a news expose, oh, construction workers on City Time,
well,
you know, goofing around.
I feel like that's the reason that they need coaching, because they get all of the sex stuff. They get why it's not a big deal for people to get paid to have sex. That's not the issue. The issue is that they don't get why it is a labor issue, and they don't get why it is a class issue. They don't understand all of these other issues involved with the struggle, and if they could develop language around that, they could sound really a lot more respectable in the context of saying, I think prostitution should not be a crime, because they have a basis for it that's just beyond, well, I'm a guy and I like sex. And that's what they get cornered with. They get bullied into that. And well, I mean, some of them, that is all they think, and, you know, whatever, but we don't have to target everybody at the beginning, but we know that there are guys out there who get it and who can be really good allies if they're just coached, and
yeah,
we need a plan for that.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I think that, you know, like everything else, and maybe even Spitzer himself, you know, going after prostitutes when he was attorney general and then using their services themselves. It's the type of thing where you're not going to admit in your personal life or even casually in conversation to people, oh, yes, I support decriminalization of prostitutes, I support prostitutes' rights, or anything like that, because you're afraid of, you know, the repercussions of whether even a girlfriend or a wife saying, what, you know, and then suddenly suspecting you of maybe actually using the services of sex workers. You know, you don't want to be found out. So, of course, you're going to say, I condemn all of it. But, yeah, no, I completely agree with you, Stacey. It's they can be allies of ours, but it's that fear, and it's the same fear that maybe we have of being exposed as sex workers to the general public. It's their fear of maybe being exposed as supporting us, because, you know, who knows, somebody might all of a sudden suspect them of using our services or anything, you know, anything similar. But yeah, no, I could see on the street, I was very shocked, you know, some of the guys, they seemed like, you know, kind of hip guys, and they were like, no, I think prostitution is wrong, I think it's, you know, I think it's terrible and this and that. And I almost feel there was that guilt there, and it was the same type of guilt that you saw on that 2020 show. They were trying to put men on a guilt trip for using the services of sex workers, saying, oh, this is horrible, look what you're doing to these women. And, I mean, we see that all the time, you know, not in addition to portraying us as victims, they're trying to portray the men as perpetrators or, you know, something similar to that. You know, hey, if you're using the services of a sex worker, you could be supporting sex trafficking or something, you know, something like that, you know.
Yeah,
and I think that's what a lot of these media outlets are trying to do.
Okay, well, I'm going to get off the phone. I hope other people will call in. And, Serpent, I just want to thank you for what you're doing with Red Light District Chicago, because I think it's giving us an opportunity to see what people have to say and to start having these conversations about, you know, what do those people need to hear. And, you know, it's just that Spread has a segment like that where they go out in the streets and they ask people questions and, you know, get an idea of, like, what people's opinions are about things. And I think that those kind of projects are so valuable to activists because, you know, it gets us thinking about all these things. So,
yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in, Stacey.
And Jill, thank you for doing the show. I love you. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Stacey. This is XBN, the Swappies Broadcast Network. If you would like to join in, we would love to have you call in, 646-200-3136. Once again, my name is Jill Brenneman. We are powered by Blog Talk Radio. You know, one of the things that crossed my mind, which kind of made me laugh about the construction workers, I was thinking as you were talking, Serpent, that I could just picture them in front of their supervisor. I could picture them in front of their supervisor thinking, oh, my God, what have I gotten myself into? And then giving, you know, the standard cliche answer as opposed to what they may have felt just because their boss was standing behind them. So
right.
Oh, please, go ahead.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. They were a little nervous at first, and we actually talked to the supervisor after he wasn't on camera, and we had a good conversation with him too, and he was, you know, he was basically agreeing with us and what we were doing. We had a long talk with him. They were concerned, I think, mainly because they were on the job and they had their work vests on and they were out in kind of a high traffic area, and I think they were more concerned with, well, we don't know who you guys are. And I said, oh, you know, we're just cable access and on the Internet. You're not going to be on NBC News tonight. But they were concerned, obviously, that, you know, there might be another news camera watching them on City Time, you know, goofing around doing interviews and stuff like that. So they were a little concerned about that. But as far as their answers go, the one guy, you know, I mean, he was very adamant about Spitzer committing a crime, and then you can kind of see, you know, things kind of get a little weird there, because I think Corinne was the one who did that interview at first, and you know, she was interviewing the guy, and then I forget what the response was, but it was kind of she was kind of debating whether he had committed a crime or not, and he's like, well, wait a second, prostitution is a crime, right? You know, it's a crime. You should be prosecuted for it. And, you know, and then things kind of took a little kind of a strange turn. So, you know, they were very adamant about, you know, what went on there was a crime and should be prosecuted, and they were a little less concerned with the fact that, you know, he had been a hypocrite. He had been using these services all the time, you know, throughout. Well, I mean, some people are saying that he had been using escort services for 10 years. So, I mean, that stems back a long time. But then the other guy said, you know, he should give the $80,000 back. But it wasn't, I don't believe he was using state money. He was using his own, he was his own money. So, I mean, I don't think, you know, he needs to give the money back that he was using if it was his own money that he made. So, obviously.
No, I agree. You know, I mean, if it was his money, I mean, if anything, the only person he has to explain, who he should have to explain that to is his wife. You know,
right, and, exactly.
You know, what she knew or didn't know, I mean, we'll never know, and you know, and I think my personal problem with Spitzer, of course, is that the hypocrisy behind the fact that he was this anti-prostitution zealot.
Right.
You know, he wanted to bring down prostitution, et cetera, and in the meantime, you know, put himself above that.
Well, I mean, going back to what Stacy said, I think that it's that whole point of where these guys, and I mean, we see it with these scandals all the time, where they're saying one thing in their public life and they're doing another thing in their personal life. And I think it's that whole, it goes back to the whole thing where they're, I mean, maybe not so much trying to cover up their actions, but trying to, well, I guess in a way, or just pretend that they would never do something like that. I mean, I think Spitzer was going after prostitutes because he, you know, he was probably in denial. He was probably thinking, well, you know, if I do this, nobody will ever suspect that I'm using, you know, escort services, you know, whatever, twice a week, every week, or however long, however often he was using them until he was finally exposed. But, I mean, he obviously had been doing it for a long time. So it did take him a while to get caught, and, of course, you know, I don't believe he was caught. You know, the sting was specifically to set him up. It more had to do with the money that was being transferred in that particular agency. I think, you know, that just happened to catch him. But, I mean, you never know.
One of the questions, you know, thinking about the Spitzer scandal and how Kristen was labeled as a bad girl by the Post, well, you know, where's the headline, you know, Spitzer, bad boy?
Right.
You know, where's the topless photo of Spitzer being pulled off?
Well, yeah. Well, that's what I thought was particularly offensive. And obviously, the New York Post, as I mentioned before, is not really the most reputable newspaper. But it was pretty shocking that they would run that photo, which, you know, she obviously hadn't posed for, which was taken from, you know, sold to them from some photographer that had taken it, and labeling her a bad girl when, I mean, essentially she was just doing her job as far as I'm concerned. You know, why is she a bad girl? And, you know, yeah, I mean, that was a particularly very offensive newspaper cover and all the backlash against her. You know, I was just thinking, God, this could be anybody. This could be any one of the, whatever, hundreds of thousands of escorts in the United States. She just happened to be the one. And it could be any of us who could be on the cover of the New York Post, I mean, with some, you know, horrible photograph labeling us a bad girl and then for everyone to know. So, I mean, that's what kind of scares me, you know? You never know who it's going to be next. And then, of course, within 2 weeks, they had busted some other madam. I think her name was Kristen Davis, and they had her photograph all over, and they said that Spitzer used her escort service as well. So, I mean, they could do a bust every single day, and it could be a new person, you know? And, of course, we're seeing this now with these politicians. Now some senator's husband comes out about using services. And it just goes to show people that the kind of people who are using escorts and the the services of sex workers, in addition to politicians, it's anybody. To me, it's like it's your brothers, it's your fathers, it's your sons, it's your husbands, it's everybody. I mean, it's anybody and anybody walking down the street. They're not necessarily, you know, a sleazy person or a bad person. It could be anybody. And unfortunately, just because these people are involved in politics, usually they're the ones who are set as, you know, shown as an example. But, you know, it could be the guy down the street, you know, who you barely even know. And it is, because, you know, I've been working in this industry for a while. I mean, there is no typical client. I mean, they run the gamut from doctors and lawyers to construction workers.
You know, and I think that's something that's often missed by the mainstream media. You know, they like to pick up on the politician, but you're right. That's my experience, too. I mean, the odds of hitting a quote-unquote famous client, you know, in comparison to the regular client, for lack of a better word, I mean, you certainly have the guy down the street far more often than you have
Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Sheen, or I can't think of that televangelist's name.
Oh, Ted Haggard.
Ted Haggard, yeah, you know.
Right, and he was another one that was, I mean, I think, you know, I was actually just reading in Spread, and there was kind of debate because the escort that busted him, the Ted Haggard, actually wrote a book, and there's kind of debate over whether, you know, the escort kind of broke the client sex worker, you know, secrecy, you know, code of silence, you know, like a therapist would have with their patients. And at first I really did think that as well. I said, well, you know, they pay us not just for the act of sex, they pay us for to keep silent about this. You know, that's why these men are using escorts instead of having affairs, because, you know, that's kind of an unspoken rule. But, I mean, a lot of people say, oh, no, well, if, you know, I had a client that was actively campaigning against prostitutes, or in that particular case, he was actively campaigning against homosexuality, I would bust him. You know, I would go out there in the press. But I don't know, you know, because then you're exposing yourself as well. And I know that particular escort had to stop escorting after he busted up Ted Haggard. He basically ruined his, you know, sex work career, but of course now he's writing a book, so maybe he's doing much better. but yeah, I don't know. You know, it's hard to say. And Kristen in particular, she didn't bust Spitzer. You know, it was the wiretap that caught him. And you know, I mean, that's another thing to think about is, I think that was a question that came out when this whole Spitzer scandal broke, was why do men use the services of sex workers? And a lot of the bigger reasons is because there's, you know, no strings attached. You pay someone, they leave, and they don't talk about it. Unlike having an affair where, you know, you have the possibility of someone ruining your entire life, your family life, if they get angry or upset. So,
you know, I think those points are often missed. You know, I saw a survey, I forget where, perhaps it's CNN, where that topic actually was addressed. You know, which is worse, to have an affair or to hire an escort? And the overwhelming majority stated it was worse to hire an escort. And,
right.
You know, so I think society still throws that whole notion of, you know, if a client is with an escort, you know, that's the worst thing, and, you know, and then it gets conflated, you know, with him being a perpetrator and her being a bad girl, and it gets totally spun out of control.
Well, yeah, and now with all these, you know, these exposés that came out, after the whole scandal broke is there, you know, the 2020 in particular was the worst of it, but I think she was trying to shame these men that, you know, or any men that had used the services of sex worker by portraying sex workers as being victims, you know, of abuse and or drug addicts or having been trafficked or, you know, having pimps. So basically by saying to these men, well, look what you're supporting if you're giving money to these particular sex workers. And, you know, one of the things that I always try to make clear with my clients is that, you know, I'm not on drugs. I don't give my money to anybody else. And that, you know, I use my money to, you know, pay my bills and my student loans, and that I'm a intelligent, you know, respectful person, and I'm not a victim. And I try to make that clear just in how I carry myself, how I talk about myself, and I never want to be portrayed as a victim in any sense. I was not, you know, I enjoy what I do. I was not shamed into this business. I did not go into it out of desperation. And that's one of the things that we're trying to show people with Red Light District is that we're not, you know, we're not ashamed of what we're doing, and we're not victims, and we're not, you know, it is possible for a sex worker to enjoy her work, enjoy what she does. And everywhere, left and right, you know, all these news stories, mainstream news stories that came out after this scandal and that are always coming out, it's the same old thing. They're trying to portray us as victims. You know, and I think, you know, like we mentioned, that I think part of that is also to make the men feel guilty that, you know, they're paying money to some, you know, poor girl who might be a victim of, you know, who knows what, or, you know, is supporting a drug habit or what have you. So they're basically trying to make them feel guilty. I think that Diane Sawyer, that 2020 in particular, she tried to do that, because then I went to the message board on ABC News after that. And, I mean, you should see some of the responses she got. You know, these men and women, but men were just like, oh, you know, I feel so guilty that men do this to women and this and that. And I'm just thinking, oh, my God. This is so, I mean, there are a lot worse things that men do to women than, you know, use the services of a sex worker. So,
you know, and that's a point in itself that goes missed. You know, that
yeah.
There's such an emphasis on condemning adult consensual, you know, exchange of money between adults. You know, and certainly we're all opposed to coercion, to rape, to non-consensual participation, and but it's all lumped together. And you know, I saw a rally call from an anti-prostitution activist who literally put out a rally call to try to flood that ABC blog with support for Diane Sawyer, and it was just astonishing.
Yeah, and I think I posted a comment on it, and then I went through the comments, and I noticed that it wasn't there. And I don't know if it had to go through an approval process or if it was taken down or what have you. But I noticed there was very few positive or sex worker positive comments. There were some, but the majority of it was just, what a great job Diane Sawyer did. And I think there was one in particular. It was a woman who said she sat her three teenage sons down to watch that show. She forced them to watch that show to kind of show them just, you know, I guess to show them why they should never use the services of a sex worker. I have no idea why, you know, you would sit your three teenage sons down, but you know, just an amazing amount. And I was just thinking, God, I mean, you know, it seems like every day we have one of these domestic situations where a wife is murdered by a husband every day. And this stuff is just falling by the wayside as every day, you know, every day a woman is murdered, you know, no big deal. But these people are just in outrage over this sex worker expose. And I'm just thinking, my gosh, I mean, where are our priorities? You know, to me, my priority is violence against women. Actual physical violence against women on a daily basis is so, I mean, it's so commonplace nowadays. And yet people are all up in arms over the sex worker situation. I mean, give me a break. This is something that's, you know, I mean, as we all know, it's gone on, you know, since the beginning of time. It's never going to end. And yes, I mean, you know, sex trafficking is bad, but I mean, it's not as prevalent as people are led to believe. And that's,
you know,
yeah, go on.
You bring up some very, very good points, you know, and the amount of resources that are used to take down these consensual sexual transactions. Meanwhile, you know, the amount of domestic violence that goes on. You know, maybe that the mother who sat the teens down could include, you know, well, don't beat your wife when you grow up too. That's, you know.
Yeah, I would hope that the mother would say that to her son, you know? I mean, I don't know. But, I mean, showing something like that, I mean, it's just, you know, it's kind of sad because it really does, it really did portray the majority of the women on that show, I mean, almost all of them, as victims that couldn't make decisions for themselves. And I would hate to you know, show teenage sons that, who are just kind of formulating their opinions about women in the world, to show them something like that, where you see these women who are just kind of, you know, edited to make it seem like they're you know, victims of you know, this and that, and can't make decisions for themselves. I mean, that to me is, you know, more offensive than, you know, showing her teenage sons that, so they'll never use, I don't know why she did it, maybe so they wouldn't, I assume, so they would never use the services of a prostitute or sex worker. So.
This is XBN, the Swappies Broadcast Network. My name is Jill Brenneman. We're powered by Blog Talk Radio. My guest is Serpent Libertine. There's still plenty of time if you'd like to jump in on the conversation, 646-200-3136. You know, and going back to the Diane Sawyer thing, one of the things that I think was missed by a lot of people is a show of that length doesn't get put together in 3 minutes. You know, that clearly they had had that show in the can. And
yeah, they said for 2 years.
They waited for a moment where they could generate a much higher, I forget which rating it is for TV, Nielsen rating.
Right.
You know, so you know, at a lot of levels, I think Diane Sawyer was exploiting the very people that she was claiming to represent. You know, how many people did she interview that didn't agree with her position? And the one that she did put on, she just belittled her and...
Right. Well, no, and that's one of the things I actually thought was most offensive about that was that she had been working on that for 2 years, and at the end of the show, she went back and tracked down some of the people she interviewed 2 years prior, and, you know, quite a few of them had actually left the industry. And I thought, well, gosh, how much they feel now having, you know, their past life, which, you know, broadcast for all the world to see, and now they're trying to, you know, some of them had left the industry and were trying to, you know, get regular jobs and whatever industries they had moved on to. I mean, now they have ABC News broadcasting their previous life as, you know, as a prostitute or what have you, and that might have made it harder for them. So... The people she was trying to help with that show, she was ended up hurting. And I think the one was the high-class escort that she had that she kind of interviewed with, you know, in darkened, they didn't show her face. She was insisting that she had never been a victim, that she, you know, Diane Sawyer says, I really find it hard to believe you've never been a victim of abuse as a child or as an adult. And the woman's like, no, I haven't. And I could see Sawyer just could not believe it. She could not believe that a woman could would go into this industry by choice without having been a victim previously in life. And that, to me, is just what, you know, I mean, that's what really drives us nuts, you know, is this stereotype has just got to end of this common, you know, thought process of people who are just like, every sex worker is a victim. Every sex worker has been a victim. This is why they're in the industry, is because they were abused sexually as a child or has experienced some type of traumatic incident that caused them to enter this industry. And there's people, there's doctors and intelligent people, you know, who do academics who do these studies, and they still believe this. And, I mean, it's not true about myself. It's not true about a lot of the other friends in this industry that I have, and yet nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear that. They want to hear. It's like they want to be. They want to have that reinforced, that negative reinforcement that, yes, all sex workers are victims. And that's what I saw in that 2020. I mean, it was just 2 hours of that constant, that same old stereotype over and over again.
Well, just the statistics, you know, that you hear used constantly, and then the age seems to drop yearly. You know, the average age of entry into prostitution, you know, is now 13, and I remember when it was 14, and now there's discussion that it's 12, and you know, I mean, it's absurd. It's an absurd statement, even if you just look at it from a mathematical perspective. I mean, given the number of sex workers, working, how many five-year-olds would it take to drop the average to that level?
I know, it's kind of sick, isn't it? I mean, I don't know. I don't know who's doing these studies and who's coming up with these numbers, but it just seems ridiculously absurd to me. I mean,
if anyone even just thinks through the number, I mean, 13? 13 as an average? I
can't even believe that. I mean, I just cannot believe it. And you know, I don't think I'm in denial about that either.
You know, I mean, well, the average temperature in Raleigh-Durham is 46 degrees. You know, you could put that as a statistic, but you would be excluding the fact that that's for the month of, you know, for Martin Luther King Day, the average temperature in Raleigh-Durham is 46. You know, that doesn't mean the rest of the year.
Right.
You know, I think what's being missed is that they're using the same logic. Or, you know, that certainly a huge percentage of the demographic is being skewed to achieve that number. I mean, what are they including? You know, penguins?
Maybe
you include Antarctic penguins, you know, which for recent studies determined, you know, penguins, female penguins in Antarctica are involved in prostitution. And I say that with all seriousness. I was kind of amused by the article. So maybe if you include those penguins, you know, whose average age of entry is like, you know, 8 months, you know, after they get kicked out of the nest, it becomes a valid statistic. But without that.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know where the research is to back this up, to back, you know, statistics like that up. But I think it's the same with the sex trafficking. Which, you know, I'm not saying is not a problem, but I think it's a little bit overblown. I mean, I think it's a lot overblown. What was I just reading somewhere? I was reading Spread or something, and there was some statistic that was being quoted in a book somewhere saying something like 80% of prostitutes were trafficked. 80%.
80%?
It was something that was quoted in a book or something. I'll have to go look back at that. But, I mean, who comes up with that number? I mean, that's just absolutely absurd, 80%. There's no way 80% of prostitutes could be trafficked. I mean, people just really have to look at the big picture and realize that, you know, a lot of these statistics are just meant to, meant to kind of be used as scare tactics, you know, to just kind of put the fear in people's, you know, eyes that young girls are getting involved in prostitution and they're all being trafficked by, you know, these evil men that are forcing them across, you know, shuttling them all over the world, you know, and it's just not the case. The majority of sex workers, you know, choose to do this. They choose to do this because, I mean, for whatever reason, they need money. I mean, that's usually the number one reason. But a lot of people continue on in this industry because they enjoy it. And I do it because I actually enjoy my work. And that's very hard. That's a tough pill for a lot of people to swallow, Jill. I mean, people do not want to hear. It's almost strange. People just do not want to hear that a sex worker enjoys her work. They want to hear the horror stories. They want to hear how awful she thinks her working conditions are. They want to hear how terrible the Johns are to her, how they're abusive. And, I mean, that's just not the case. The majority of these guys are very nice people. And I mean, Kitten and I did a podcast, you know, where we're talking about the 18 things every sex worker should know. And one of those on the list was, you know, statistically you're not likely to meet the next Green River Killer, nor are you likely to meet Charlie Sheen, but the majority you'll find of clients are nice guys. And it's true. The majority of them are actually just nice, normal guys that you'd meet anywhere. Respectable people. I mean, you know, there's always going to be bad apples in the bunch just due to the nature of this industry. But, one of the things you learn to do as a sex worker is you learn to weed them out. If you're contacted by a bad apple, you know, you just say, I'm not going to see you. And you have that choice. And you have that choice whether to see a person or not, especially if you work independently. You know, and that's another thing that we go into on that podcast is the importance of working independently and not having bosses, not having other people kind of telling you what to do. And a lot of girls nowadays are working independently. They're picking and choosing who they get to see. They're dealing with the clients on their own. You know, they're booking them on their own. And that's really important. And there's, once again, that whole stereotype that we're all being, we all have pimps that are controlling us and taking our money and, you know, telling us who we have to see. And that's just not the case anymore.
You know, one of the ironic allegations thrown at sex workers is that we are part of the pro-pimp lobby.
Yeah.
And this was used by one of the researchers who coined the average age of entry being 13, you know. And there are so many guests that have come onto the show, such as yourself, and who work independently, who don't even want a pimp, who are opposed to the idea of a pimp. You know.
I know. I've actually never met anyone who's had a pimp. I mean, you know, granted, we've all worked for agencies or, you know, the dungeons that were run, and a lot of them were run by guys who were jerks. But, you know, I mean, obviously there's different types of prostitution. But there's that whole myth that everybody has a pimp. And it's like, I mean, nowadays, I mean, I have to say, with the internet, girls can work completely independently. They place their own ads, they do their own screening, and they take all their money themselves, and they're making big money. And you know, once again, people really want to believe that these girls are taking their money and they're giving it to some guy who's you know, beating her up as soon as she gets home because she didn't make enough money. And it's really not the case. And I guess that was one of the best things about, you know, about internet. I mean, when I first started in this industry, I didn't have a computer. So I did work for a lot of those agencies. And a lot of, I do have to say, a lot of them were run by guys who were a little bit pimp-like. You know, they were kind of like, you know, do this, do that. I wouldn't call them pimps, but they were just jerks who were money hungry. And then, you know, once you find out how to place your own ads on the internet or in newspapers or wherever escorts advertise, you realize you don't need those people. And that's one thing that a lot of these shows aren't showing is how independent girls can work. And that's one of the great things about this industry is you can work completely independently, not have bosses, and make your own schedule. And I mean, that makes it such a great industry, especially for artists or people who have other creative pursuits and people who go to school as well.
Well, it's certainly options that a lot of, you know, the quote-unquote mainstream jobs don't give you. You know, I mean, I spent years as a flight attendant, and, you know, the first 2 years as a flight attendant, you're on 24/7, 365 calls.
Right.
365 days a year. You know, the phone rings, they tell you, be at the airport, be in uniform, and if we need you, we'll put you on a flight. If we do
right.
not need you, then, you know, we'll send you home. And you have no life whatsoever, and you know, that type of thing is completely thought of as, you know, a glamorous job to aspire to.
Yeah,
you know,
my mother was a flight attendant back in the 60s when it was a very glamorous job, and I remember their motto used to be, we have a little mug that says it, coffee, tea, or me. I mean, really?
I remember my early days with Southwest, you know, that one of their slogans. I'm dating myself, but I was with Southwest in the go-go boots and the miniskirt era, you know, long before they got these cool new uniforms, you know, that I would have killed for, you know, with shorts. And you know, I also remember Braniff Airlines saying, with the whole campaign, fly me.
I mean, really?
You know, so, I mean, here are these major corporations using sex to sell. We have about 2 minutes left. I'd like you to have the opportunity to use those. Well, now we're down to about 90 seconds. What would you like to impart to an audience or a website you'd like to share?
Well, yeah. First of all, thank you so much for having me on the show. I guess I just tell people about Red Light District Chicago. The web address is www.redlightdistrictchicago.com. That's where we have our media and videos. And also Swap Chicago, which I didn't talk about as much on here, but which I'm a member of, and that's swop-chicago.org. And then, of course, we didn't talk about the Desiree Alliance Conference, which is happening in Chicago this summer from July 16th to 20th. And I believe you will be there too, Gil, as well.
I will be there.
Yeah, and I will be there, and that's... you really want to invite any sex worker that can make it to come to this conference. It's just a wonderful gathering of sex workers from all over the world, and that's happening here in Chicago, and I think it's going to be really exciting. We're working on some of the presentations are going to be right now, and it's just a great way to meet other sex workers and communicate and talk about some of the issues we have, and I think we're really excited to have it here in Chicago this year. I know previous years were like San Francisco and Las Vegas. So we're really excited about that. And my blog is www.sexpros.net. And I also write for Gracie's site. Gracie was on last night, sexkitten.net, sex-kitten.net. And It's just great. I mean, I'm just looking forward to doing more sex worker made media, and I would love, you know, I would love some feedback from people if they've been watching the videos and listening to the podcast, and they can get a hold of me and just let me know what they're thinking, and if they have any ideas for stuff they want us to do. I mean, we're just you know, like I said, we're just taking ideas, and just anytime we have a new idea, we're just going with it. So. I'm really excited about that stuff. So.
I so want to thank you for joining us. This is XXBN, Raleigh Durham, Chapel Hill.
Log Talk Radio.
Wow, you so rock. Are you there?
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we only have one caller, but that's all right.
That's okay.
It was nice of Stacy to call in.
We had 544 listeners.
Really?
Wow.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
So people are listening. You know, I read a statistic where they said on average, only 2% of talk radio listeners will call in.
Oh, really?
So
yeah,
I guess
Tracy was lucky. I think she kind of prodded everyone to call in. But that's all right. No, wow, that's amazing. That many people were listening. Oh, wow.
You know, and it's totally, all shows are archived. And
yeah.
you can download as many copies as you want. You know, and I know a lot of people are catching the shows. They're catching the shows on delay.
Yeah.
We can see, you know, we're averaging about 40 listens on delayed shows. So it's definitely, you know, you add that and it's 600. We're reaching an audience and we're reaching consistency. I think we're onto something. And
yeah. No, yeah. I mean, it's just amazing, you know, since we started doing our stuff, it's just amazing the feedback I've gotten so far, and now one of the papers from, it's called the Chicago Reader, it's like the weekly free paper, but it gets a pretty good distribution. They want to do an interview with me about the website and stuff like that. So I was a little nervous about that, but it's really amazing the audience you can reach. And I think that's what's so important is we just even taking baby steps, we got to reach as many people as possible because, you know, we have all these mainstream media outlets trying to cancel us out. And, I mean, I we got to do what we can to get our voices out there, I guess.
Well, you know, we've seen the rise just in, what, you know, 3 months of sex worker podcasts and video and talk radio, and, you know, I think we're onto something, and I know from this end of the show, we literally can line guests up as fast as, really almost faster than I can keep up with. I'm not really sure once I go back to work. You know, I've been out for a couple of weeks for carpal tunnel surgery. Of even how to keep it going. You know, maybe we can look at a partnership where, you know, Swap Chicago hosts some shows. And,
yeah,
you know,
I'd love to do that. I just bought, what do you use? I just bought one of those USB microphones that you just plug right in. And I was thinking of, I mean, you know, I have a Mac, so I've just been doing the podcasts on the GarageBand. But you'd have to kind of maybe show me what, I don't know what, how you do that, how you take callers and stuff like that. But I know Kitty and I could, you know, and Stacy's going to be here all summer, so we could always do stuff.
You know, you literally, you just, I give you the call-in number.
Okay.
There's a host call-in number, and I'll give you the passwords to get in, and, it literally gives you everything. You've got the switchboard. You've got the upload files of music from all the artists, which we've done really well from getting some significant artists to back us, that let us use their music, you know, from Cowboy Junkies to Rusted Root to,
wow,
you know, but everything is there. You block out all your shows. You book your shows in advance.
Mm-hmm.
There's a segment where you just go and add a segment. And you know, I one of the reasons that I put it under XBN as opposed to Swap East was so that, you know, if others wanted to take part, that
right.
It could become a global, you know, the X is kind of a generic, you know, the BN is broadcast network, X could really be whatever,
right.
Whatever, you know, so that we can all use it. So I would be totally, I can't keep up with it. I'm going to go back to work in, you know, probably about 2 weeks, and I literally cannot keep up either with the demand for guests.
Right.
Or the shows, and I'm doing this essentially full time right now.
Right. Yeah, so, no. I mean, you know, I mean, I could, you know, do the same thing with any of the girls here in Swap or the guys. I mean, we could, you know, just one of us can take turns or whatever, but I could definitely, we could probably do stuff whenever we, you know, we have a chance. I know we can get together and kind of figure it out. But yeah, I'll bring that up actually at our next meeting and see if you know, I know Betty and Kelly from our group wanted to go on your show, but maybe they could do like a guest host type of thing as well too. So.
Well, certainly. I mean, everybody's got so many great opinions. You know, being both guests and hosts is definitely an option. I mean, I've ended up being both. You know,
right.
one of the things that we did, I did a speaking presentation at William & Mary last Sunday, and Amanda Brooks hosted, and we literally did a live show immediately after I finished, and they put it up over the speaker system.
Wow.
From where I did the presentation, so that the audience could hear and call in and ask questions, and that in itself kind of, I never really thought of doing it, but it literally extended the presentation by an hour. It brought so many people, you know, who had questions that we ran out of time to take, that instead asked their questions over the air, and I thought to myself, you know, wow, I mean, instead of them asking their questions in isolation just to this audience,
right.
Your questions are going out over the internet where anybody worldwide can pick it up.
Right.
You know, and so maybe we look at doing some live broadcasts from different events. And
yeah, I mean, definitely. Trying to think of what we have coming up here, but yeah, you know, that's something to think about.
Your microphone is really, what you need is some sort of phone access to call in, which I go up through Skype.
Oh, okay, you have Skype. Well, you know what? I know Kitty uses Skype when she does, so she might be able to. We could probably do something from her place because, you know, she's already tied into that system. So you use Skype, and then how does that... Now, are you talking into, like, one of those USB mics, or what?
Yeah, I'm talking into a USB mic and headphones.
Okay.
I use something called Skype Pro. It's $3 a month.
Okay.
It gives you unlimited long distance to the U.S. and Canada for $3 a month.
Okay.
And then you just dial into the show via Skype. There's a host number that you call. There's a host password that you enter, and then you log in via the internet.
Okay.
And you pull up your switchboard, and it's, you know, the only other part to it is you've got to hit those IDs that Blog Talk Radio requires in the 4,000 pages of legalese.
Okay.
you know, just identify, essentially they want you to say Blog Talk Radio 4 times an hour.
Okay, all right.
And at the top of the hour, you have to, legally, under the FCC, you have to identify the point of origination of the broadcast.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the SXBN Raleigh Durham. And that's really it, you know, as long as you don't use really terrible words or insult Blog Talk Radio to death.
They wouldn't allow you to use the word porn. I mean, I guess they just want to keep it family friendly. They let you to use sex worker and prostitute and
anything but porn, isn't it? That's porn is the only word I've seen, you know, that got kicked out. So I just put an X where the O is, and it's fine. And you know, I kind of made reference to that. I kind of made reference to that more than once as a joke. You know, this is a family show.
Yeah, I know. I thought that was a little strange, but, you know, like I said, you can always say, like, adult film or whatever, but I was, yeah, that was funny. Because it's, you know, I guess they just don't want porn broadcasts or whatever, porn stars on them. I mean, what if you had, a porn star as a guest? That's...
we would just say adult film star and then broadcast their cheesy filter. And
that's really strange.
But yeah, no, CF Swap Chicago would like to host some shows, you know. XBN is a generic label, and so.
Yeah, how often are you doing that? You're doing them, like, you know, several times a week, though.
We literally have done them. We've done one a day, at least one a day. Tomorrow there's two.
Oh, really? Okay.
Because I can't keep up with the demand.
Yeah.
The demand for guests, and I figured I might as well catch this while it's hot.
Right.
You know, I don't think we can sustain this show level.
Yeah.
You know, both from guests or from just from a hosting perspective. You know, certainly not unless somebody else picks up some of the shows.
Right.
But it's astonishing how many people.
Yeah, that's amazing. 544 people. I mean, do you know where the audience is coming from? Does it show you anything about that, or?
Again, no demographics, just a straight up number. Anybody can grab the PromoCube software and embed it into their blog.
Yeah.
My guess is that more than one person has picked this up and are broadcasting this via their blog.
Yeah.
To hit that. It's going to kick us off in about 20 seconds. But thank you so much. And let's keep in touch.
Yeah, it was wonderful. Well, I look forward to meeting you this summer, and I'll definitely, you know, I'll be on the Vegas decrim board. At any time we have new projects, you know, on Red Light or anything like that, I'll definitely keep you updated.
Cool.
Yeah, but yeah, I'll bring that up at a swap meeting at our next meeting, and I'll see who might want to like maybe do a guest host thing. But I could definitely swing a couple, and I know, you know, Kitten or maybe Stacy, we could all get together and, you know, and maybe do a guest host stint. So I'll bring that up and I'll keep in touch. All right,
okay.
Thanks, Jill. All right, bye-bye. Have a good day. All right, bye.
Okay.